today, isn't it, Kathleen? Entry into that portion. I want to tell you, I want to prepare you for something. The next thing, because our last class, we missed it. We missed the last class. And then we've got a time difference and all that. Just that I want to make it very clear for you. See, the self-knowledge is a preparation for the further classes. The self-knowledge that I am a conscious being is already there. Do you know that you are a conscious being or not? You already know that you are a conscious being.
Oh, yeah.
You don't mistake any rock, piece of rock for yourself. You know, I am a conscious being, different from all the inert objects in this world. I am a conscious being, that much you know, definitely already you know. But, there are lots of misconceptions, erroneous notions, crowded in your mind. Really, this I am a conscious being, this knowledge which is already there in your mind. You don't mistake yourself for anything inert, which means you already know you are a conscious being. But it is not just this knowledge is clouded also by wrong notions and misconceptions. Therefore, actually, Vedanta Shastram, when you say Shastram, Vedanta Shastram serves as a means of knowledge. And the teacher, Vedanta Shastram unfolded by the competent, the teacher who knows the method of unfoldment, serves as a means of knowledge means. What does the Shastram tell you again? Again, Shastram tells the same thing, that you are a conscious being. Then the question might arise, why should I study the Shastram? If Shastram tells me the same thing, that I am already know, I'm aware of, that I am a conscious being. The Shastram, in fact, does not give you this knowledge that you are a conscious being. In fact, what Shastram does is, it only removes, it helps to resolve all the misconceptions and erroneous notions you have about the self. Why I am telling all these things? The mantra which I am going to unfold, it needs an introduction. Always, introduction is very important with every mantra for you to have clear understanding. Because we study the Shastram, the very study of the Shastram is for knowing the truth as being the self. Or knowing the truth means knowing the truth of oneself is knowing the truth of the whole. That because we already study Shastram with the Shraddha, with the faith in the Shastram as a means of knowledge. Now, if we already know that I am a conscious being, and the Shastram also repeats the same thing, that you are a conscious being, then what is the purpose of studying the Shastram? What does the Shastram specially do? The Shastram only clarifies the knowledge which you already have. You already know you are a conscious being, but Shastram, what it does is, it helps you, it clarifies that knowledge you already have by helping you resolve all the misconceptions and wrong notions you entertain about the self, which is the truth of the self of everything here, the entire universe here. And that is why here the knowledge that has to rise in your intellect, rise in your mind, happens to be the knowledge of the most abstract, subtlest reality, the consciousness. The knowledge has to take place in a buddhi. The knowledge is of what? The knowledge is of not any gross object or not even subtlest object, but it is much subtler, not even a subject, but much subtler reality, the self, the consciousness. Therefore, this knowledge requires, you know, this knowledge has to be gained only with the help of the Shastram that we know. So, we say when you study the Shastram with the help of the competent teacher, and the study involves three steps, I said. How do you study? You study the Shastram systematically, regularly, consistently, continuously, with the help of the competent and the guidance of a competent teacher who knows the method of unfoldment. And how long? For length of time. This is what is Shravanam. Called Shravanam or listening. The word listening to the Vedantic teaching has to be explained like this. Systematic, regular, continuous, consistent. Now study of the Shastra under the guidance of a competent teacher for a length of time is Shravanam. And is the Shravanam enough for knowledge? If you do the Shravanam itself should bless you with knowledge and the twofold benefits. Shravanam itself should bless you with the knowledge that you are desperately waiting for. The knowledge should take place, and not only the knowledge, simultaneously, not consequently, simultaneously, the benefit of knowledge also. So, knowledge, once you understand, I am the pure awareness, the pure consciousness. The content of I is nothing but pure awareness or consciousness. Therefore, there is no knower other than awareness. There is no I other than awareness. Just when you say there is no wave other than water. If you remove the water, wave is not there. Similarly, there is no meaning, substance or substantive I other than awareness. The understanding, the content, the substance of the substantive I being pure awareness, the consciousness. There is no knower, there is no I other than consciousness. The understanding is what I, the self, am the pure awareness. There's no doubt whatsoever. It must be in spite of being endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, relatively being an individual, I, the self, am absolutely awareness. Free from the material bodies, earthly bodies, and the problems, limitations pertaining to these three bodies. Okay? This understanding, this is what now, the knowledge, when the self-knowledge takes place, The first primary benefit you enjoy is this. What that? I, the self, am awareness. So awareness free from the three bodies. And the problems, the limitations pertaining to the bodies. This is the primary benefit. And this is called Videha Muktihi. Videha Muktihi means what? Being endowed with the physical body, body minus complex, enjoying the body minus complex, living in this world as an individual, still cognitive, relatively living, endowed with the body minus complex, absolutely cognitively being free from the three bodies and the problems with the bodies. Is what? Videha Muktihi. So Videha Muktihi, we also talk about Videha Mukti as what? If any wise person after the death, will attain immortality, which means he will not be born again assuming a body. So not being born again, assuming the physical body, thereby not being subject to physical death also, is called Videha Muktihi. Generally we say that. But here, for any ignorant person, any ignorant person can say, every wise person attains Videha Mukti after the death. What does it mean? He will not be born again assuming a body. This is what we understand generally as Videha Mukti. But here, we need to know, every wise person, while alive, he is a Videha Muktaha. He is free from bodies while enjoying the bodies. Got it? Enjoying the bodies, being endowed with the bodies, living in this world as an individual also, he is free from the bodies and their limitations. How? By knowing the fact, by knowing the truth that I am the consciousness. This is the first benefit of self-knowledge. This is the primary benefit of self-knowledge. Most abstract fact which happens, which becomes clear in the mind. The second benefit is, the secondary benefit, otherwise you can say the sub-byproduct of the first benefit is the transformation which takes place on the part of the mind as a result of being endowed with the vision of the fact of self being free from three bodies. The transformation takes place on the part of the body. That is called Jivan Muktihi, freedom while living. You need to be very careful, very subtle teaching. What is the transformation which takes place in the mind? A phenomenon called fear resolves. You have to search for the fear in your mind then. The fear disappears. Fear resolves. Insecurity resolves. The sense of insecurity resolves. Anxiety resolves. Raga dveshas, likes and dislikes resolve. Hatred resolves. Anger resolves. Jealousy resolves. All the demonic traits resolve. What effort do you need to have? You need not make any efforts to give them up. You need not make any efforts to undo them. They resolve naturally. They drop naturally. Anger, jealousy, hatred, likes and dislikes, anxiety, in sense of insecurity, fear, they all resolve. When they resolve, what fills the mind then? Naturally, not effort with your efforts, naturally, the divine traits, daivi sampat, the divine traits fill the mind. There is love, this which is an expression of fullness. There is compassion. Compassion, kindness, love, affection, warmth, all these things naturally become the divine traits are there. And such a mind is said to be the most mature, most evolved mind of absolute strength, strongest mind. We can say that is the absolute development of the personality. One cannot develop one's personality better than that. So, absolute personality development or the absolute emotional or mental maturity evolution is only when you are endowed with such a mind. That mind, the transformation on the part of the mind, happens naturally as a bright product of the first benefit of the knowing the fact that I am awareness free from the bodies and their limitations. And the second benefit is called what? Jivan Muktihi. If you ask, most of us, all of us are really speaking, all the human beings are interested in the second benefit. They are not really interested in the first benefit. That is the burden-free, the light mind. And that mind is what? The mind which is filled with everlasting, that mind is what? Everlasting, peaceful mind of tranquility and serenity. Undisturbed serenity. This is called second, the byproduct. It is talking about the byproduct result. The secondary result is actually the primary, you know, primarily sought after by all the human beings. So, if you are given to the discipline of Shravana, listening, as we have already understood, naturally, one must be blessed with this knowledge and these twofold benefits simultaneously. And sometimes, we have to understand, the teaching is the same, the knowledge also is the same, benefits are the same, but all the students do not enjoy, do not, the study does not bless all the students equally with the same knowledge and the benefits. For some students, the Vedanta study does not sound appealing at all. It sounds very, for the people who are not mature enough, adequately mature, adequately pure, meant adequately qualified. Adequately, people were unqualified for this knowledge. Unqualified by somehow, if you have purushartha nischaya and a commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is there, then naturally you are given study of the Shastra. So you can say, I have purushartha nischaya, I am committed to the pursuit of knowledge, but still I am not benefiting from the knowledge, study. You always complain. The reason is, the knowledge, samana itself should bless one with knowledge and the twofold benefits. But why? The reason is, even though knowledge is the same, teaching is the same, all the students do not have this in attained knowledge, even if they do a study, or all of them do not enjoy the benefits of the teaching. There's a benefits of the knowledge also. People understand, I come to the class, I understand everything, you know, but it doesn't help me, really. That is complaint. That is because, Shastra says here, why it is very important for us to know this. There are, the Shastra divides these students into three groups. We have three groups of students. And please understand, the classification of students is not for belittling or praising for some people. See, all of them are equally important. Some who are qualified, adequately, appropriately qualified students, number one category. Appropriately, adequately qualified students who have been inadequately qualified before, now they have become qualified. That's all. Therefore, they are not superior. So, inadequately qualified students are going to become adequately qualified later on. That's all. Is it? Everyone must have been unqualified once upon a time. And everybody, some people said they must have become, then little qualified, then they must have become appropriately, adequately qualified later on. Everybody is a part of group. Isn't it? So, the appropriately, adequately qualified people are said to be Uttama Adhikarinaha. Uttama Adhikaris. Adhikari. You what now? The qualified. So how qualified he is? Adequately, appropriately qualified student is called Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Adhikari Naha. Then, there are much people, they enjoy both. The study bless them with knowledge and the twofold benefits. Whereas there are people who are inadequately qualified. They are not totally unqualified, but they are totally qualified also. But they are inadequately qualified. For such people, the Vedanta study is very appealing and useful. They do understand the teaching very clearly. They have the knowledge, but they attain the knowledge, but they do not enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Which means they continue to be worried, sad, upset and anxious and insecure. I know, I understand everything very clearly in the class, but still I'm unhappy, I'm sad, you know, I feel everything, still I need to go for something else. You know, but I don't really, it doesn't work. Even the knowledge is there, but knowledge does not become effective. Which means the knowledge, that they are not able to reap the benefits of knowledge. I've been having Shastram for 40 years, 30 years. I understand everything very clearly. But what? I don't seem to be enjoying the benefit. I'm still insecure, I'm still frightened, I'm still anxious, I get very angry. I'm still now rather likes and dislikes, I still have hatred. What is this business about? There's no difference between the non-Vedantic student and the student of 40 years of Vedantic study. Between the the person who is not studying doesn't have the knowledge. This person studying now Shastra, he has the knowledge. But there is no difference in behavior. Because this person does not enjoy the benefit of knowledge, is not able to reap the benefit because he is not adequately qualified. The degree of fourfold qualifications, especially mental discipline, manasaha nigraha, mind is such a mental discipline is the most important discipline a student should have. Okay? If your mind is so important, mental discipline, now the sixfold disciplines, why not the Bodha? See, if you have mental discipline, you are mentally disciplined, you will have all the discipline. And all the fourfold qualifications become accomplished if you have mental discipline. Mentally very, very, very indisciplined. Therefore, the mental discipline is very important for the seeker. So the degree of the mental discipline, that differs from the Uttam Adhikari. Therefore, this person is adequate, is qualified, but not adequately qualified. Therefore, for such a person alone, he said, what now? The one who is inadequately qualified is called Madhyama Adhikari. Understand? Madhyama Adhikari. The Madhyama Adhikari, for him alone, contemplation is prescribed. Contemplation, Uttama Adhikari does not require Nididhyasanam at all. Contemplation is not required for adequately, properly qualified person. Shravanam itself is enough for him. For inadequately qualified, so for him to enjoy the reap the benefit of the knowledge, he has to be given to the discipline of Nididhyasanam, contemplation. Understand? Mm-hmm. Who should be contemplative? See, you don't need contemplation. Contemplation is Vedantic meditation, which will not give. Contemplation is not for the knowledge. Nowhere it is said that knowledge can be attained by meditation. No, knowledge meditation is not a means of knowledge. Contemplation will not give you knowledge at all. Contemplation will not give you moksha also. Contemplation only for assimilation of what you have understood through Shravanam. If you have not eaten food at all for 1 week, if you are starving, then how can you say, I am waiting for the assimilation of the food? Assimilation of the food can happen only if you have eaten the food. Empty stomach, your intestines are making long noise, and you say, I am waiting for assimilation of the food. You already failed. No way. What assimilation are you waiting for? What have you eaten for you to assimilate? Eat first Tamil food, then wait for the assimilation. Similarly, here you do the Shravanam. Shravanam alone will give you knowledge. But if you are inadequately qualified, Madhyama Adhikari, then for the assimilation of what you have understood, will help you reap the benefits of the knowledge, for which you need what? Nididhyasanam, contemplation. Very clear, contemplation is not for knowledge, contemplation is not for moksha, contemplation only for assimilation. Therefore, you should follow the Shravana knowledge you have attained through Shravana. Contemplation without Shravana will be meaningless. Impossible. Now we'll come to the other category of students. There are students who study Shastram, but they do not attain knowledge. Therefore they can't enjoy the benefits of the knowledge also. Things do not become very clear. Which means they don't have knowledge. They don't enjoy both knowledge and the benefits. So adequately qualified, attain knowledge and the benefits both after Shravanam. They don't need Nidhyasana. Madhyam Adhikaris, they inadequately qualify, attain knowledge, but they don't reap the benefits. Therefore, they need to do Nidhyasana. Nidhyasana is prescribed for them. Whereas the unqualified students are said to be Manda Adhikarina. Manda. Manda or Heena. Manda or Heena Adhikarinaha. Or Adama Adhikarinaha. Adama. You have these three words. Adama Adhikari. Heena Adhikari. Manda Adhikari. Is the one who is unqualified. He is unqualified for knowledge. Unqualified for the enjoying the benefits of the knowledge. In terms of Vidya Mukti and Jivan Mukti. But still, he has now what? He has Purushartha Nischaya. He is very clear about moksha being the end. He is very clear about the knowledge being the only means of moksha. And he knows Shastra with what? Pramanam. Therefore, he studies the Shastram also. But still, he does not bless him with the two benefits. The knowledge and the benefits are not there for him. Such a student, what should he do? He should do the Shravanam, but the Shravanam is only, Shravanam also serves as a Karma Yoga for him. His focus must be on living a life of Karma Yoga. His focus must be on living a Karma Yoga. That is preparing his mind. The mental, he should take care of his mental discipline. The unqualified person, first thing he should do is what? He should do the Shravanam. Along with the Shravanam, he should pay attention to his mental discipline. Now the question comes, how can he become mentally disciplined? I told you, living a life of Karma Yoga. I explained to you so many times what is Karma Yoga. There's a proper attitude in doing actions. There is a proper attitude in receiving the results as prasada. In facing every situation, hard, difficult situation comes in life. In every situation, however difficult, the painful, sorrowful, you know, heart tormenting the situation is. But every situation, one should try to keep oneself balanced. How? By seeing it as the prasada, because it is ordained by the law of the natural law. Understanding one's helplessness in terms of choosing the situation. Prasada. And not only that, the spiritual aspirant who is working for, who is living his life very clearly for moksha and knowledge, he knows everything in the world, nothing in the world can give him security. Therefore, he knows the desirable attributes, all of them are, really speaking, all are subject to change. Nothing is permanent. So, you always wait for situation to go. Above all, what is important is commitment to dharma. Whatever it is, I will not compromise with dharma for anything. Dharma, that means doing one's actions. So here, how it must it be? How can one take care of one's mental discipline? How can one live one's life of dharma? See, because mental discipline has to be looked after. How? By paying attention to our physical, oral, mental activities. See, we are not creators of our thoughts. Therefore, we have no say over our own thoughts. But still, we have to improve the quality of the mind, for which we have to improve the very quality of thoughts. You know why? Like the waves constitute the ocean, the thoughts which arise in the mind constitute the mind. But changing the quality of thoughts, the quality of the thoughts have to be different, so that the mental quality also will be different. Suppose if the quality of the fabric is what? Is dependent on the quality of the yarn. The quality of the wall is dependent on the quality of the bricks. So similarly, the quality of the thoughts alone contribute for the quality of the mind. Therefore, how to consciously, even though I cannot undo the thoughts, I am not creating the thoughts, how to change the quality of the thoughts? Only by consciously paying attention to our physical, oral activities. Because every physical action is expression of our sankalpaha. What is sankalpa? Sankalpa is a decision for a given action. Decision that you make in your mind. In the decision of a thought for performing a given action. I must go to the class today. That is a sankalpa. And the sankalpa has resulted in the form of bringing it to the class. I must drink this. I must take this medicine. I should eat this. I should do this. I should do this. I should not do this. This is called sankalpa. The decisions for performing given action is called what? Sankalpa. The sankalpa is always happens after the desire, isn't it? Desire alone becomes the decision. Desire becomes the decision for action, the sankalpa. The sankalpa becomes expressed in form of action. Therefore, desire is natural. You can't undo the desire. The decision also is possible. But before you implement your decision in the form of action, you have to use your will. You have to use your knowledge of right and wrong. Then you have to filter. You have to, that is what the Swamiji says, discretion in action. Bhagavad Gita says discretion action. So you can't undo your disease. There is nothing wrong in having disease. Nothing wrong in having the sankalpa, I must eat. I want to eat, the disease comes. The sankalpa, I should eat, I must eat. Nothing wrong. But before eating, think of the consequences, right and wrong, and use your will, and you can withdraw from the action or do the action. Isn't it? It's called what of governing consciously, alertly, your physical activities, which are expressions of your sankalpa, which are the converted from your desire. Second thing, oral activity also you have to watch. Every small, anything and everything you say, you have to be very careful. You have to be alertness. Wherever you want to speak anything, you see what I am speaking. Because what you speak, words are also expressions of your thoughts. Whatever comes out of your mouth must be meaningful, useful, relevant and useful, contextually relevant and useful. Contextually irrelevant, useless, hurting words should be avoided. Now we all have come to the Vedanta class. What is the use of, if I talk about my high cholesterol to you in the class? Anything. It is necessary. You have come for Vedanta lesson. Let it contextually useful, contextually relevant, and non-hurting, and definitely the lies must be avoided. All the truths need not be spoken out. What I speak must be truthful, no lie, pleasing, non-hurting, then contextually useful and relevant. Once you do that, you must take care of what you speak everywhere. That's why no fun. Even for fun, we'll be very careful. So serious, because you're alert. That must alert, sharp, alertness, conscious. Therefore, what you speak and what you do are expressions of the thoughts. You can't undo the thoughts, but in expressing the thoughts, you can use your knowledge and knowledge of right and wrong and your will to do that. This is how in due course of time you can convert what now? You can fill your mind with the quality thought, the quality. You can change quality of the thoughts. You can't undo. But naturally, the quality of thoughts will change. This is how you can take a mental discipline. Okay, and for which, like you said in a Mandukya Upanishad class, I was saying, you know, how difficult it is to take care of one's mental discipline. How to mental discipline? It is like, it involves as much effort and perseverance. It involves great deal of perseverance and effort. This is the most difficult. Knowledge is very easy. But enjoying the benefits of knowledge is very, very easy. The mental discipline is very important. In Puranas, that they say, how difficult it is, what an amount of perseverance and then effort one should put in. They give a story, it's like saying, it seems there is a mother bird and this bird lays eggs. And suddenly there comes big rains and there are floods all over and there forms a big, big ponds. And the eggs remain submerged in the water. In the pool of water, the eggs remain submerged in the big pond. The pond is like a big ocean. So it is like the bird, poor mother bird, having laid the eggs and sees its own offsprings now in the legs, they say the eggs, remain submerged in the water, under the water. So it is now, and then there's an ocean full of water. Now the mother bird is so desperate to protect its offsprings, which are inside the eggs. So what does the mother bird do? What can it do? It can ask for help from others. It has to make an effort, its own effort. What it does, it takes a blade of kusha grass and holding the kusha grass in its small little beak, goes to the ocean and drop by drop, the bird is trying to empty the ocean.
Gosh.
Imagine what an amount of effort is required on the part of the bird to empty the ocean by taking away the water, drop by drop. And what is the spoon? It's only the kusha grass, the blade of grass. And it keeps on doing because the focus are only on what? Focus is I have to now protecting the eggs, thereby protecting its offsprings or secondary. The primary is emptying the ocean. There is no protection of the eggs and its offsprings without drying up the ocean. The focus is on now the water has been taken away. So, it forgets about it. It keeps on doing it. And seeing its perceived, it doesn't get tired at all. Very tiring job, my God. Such a big ocean. And drop by drop with a blade of grass. Empty the ocean. What an amount of effort. It doesn't get tired. It's tired. Still, it's so tiring. So tiring. The bird is so tired, but they did not give up its perseverance. Continues. No way. My offsprings had to be protected. So, it keeps on doing it. When the bird was seeing the bird's perseverance and genuine efforts are always acknowledged. Then comes the help. Bhagavan's grace always dawns. Now the grace comes, then one eagle comes. The eagle is a big bird of elegant, unobstructed, known for its unobstructed flight, comes there. The eagle is very powerful. Therefore, it comes, it wanted to help this small, tiny little bird struggling to remove the water. Now, drop by drop, my God. So what it wanted to help. It came down and it started now flapping its flags. So the flapping. What happened? It helped to dry the ocean became dry. Then because bird did its efforts, because general effort also got the help. Never ever think who will come and help me. If you make sincere efforts, and then definitely you will have grace that you will be able to achieve it. This is a fact. Discipline in your mind involves so much effort. It requires perseverance. That is why you can discipline your mind only by governing your alertfully, consciously governing your oral, physical, mental activities. All the time, your effort must be for converting the quality of the thoughts. Thereby, the quality of the mind becomes converted. For which, therefore he says, what now? That's why the unqualified person, he is a spiritual aspirant. The unqualified, we are not talking about the non-aspirants. We are not interested in non-aspirants. The non-aspirants means those who do not know the fact of moksha being the ultimate choiceless end. Those who do not know the connection between the knowledge of the truth and the moksha. Do not know the importance of the knowledge of the truth. Those who do not know the importance of self-knowledge. Thereby, those who are not committed to the pursuit of knowledge, such people who can never understand the value of mental discipline. Therefore, they may be ethical, may not be religious, but still, even if they are religious, ethical, also they are not spiritual people. Whereas here, the spiritual aspirants, the seekers, genuine seekers of the truth, are said to be yogis. And such people who have purushartha nischaya, who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, but still, if they are not qualified, they have to do shravanam. But their focus the shravanam is only for them to remind themselves of the importance and the value of living a life of karma yoga. The focus must be on living a life of dharma, living a life of karma yoga, and following panchamaha yajnas and the editing the attitudes. They have to govern their entire behavior, the movements, the physical world, activities. And how, then also what now? Intensely they will prayerful and worshipful also. No choice. Therefore, so for unqualified people, karma yoga is prescribed along with the shravanam as a sadhanam. For the inadequately qualified, nididhyasana contemplation is prescribed as a sadhanam after shravanam. But fully, adequately, appropriately qualified, shravanam itself is enough, or shravanam and mananam will do. Contemplation is not required. Therefore, freedom while living implies your mind being the most evolved, mature mind. That is the absolute personality development. Now, all over the world, people are working hard for conducting personality development courses. Now, you have to understand, because what I am saying, people work very hard, all psychologists, psychiatrists, they try. Ultimately, what do we do? People want light mind. Burden-free mind. Right mind is most mature mind. Most mature. Evolved. Most mature. Evolved. Developed mind. You know. Is right mind. Burden-free mind. So enjoying that mind is what? Freedom while living. That's called Jiva. That chain, how does that happen? So it's called emotional maturity happens when there is intellectual perspective change. Perspective change is intellectual. Emotional transformation is what? The transformation is emotional. Because consciousness does not become free from fear. Does not need to become free from fear. Consciousness does not need to become free from jealousy, hate and anger. Why? Consciousness is ever free. Never bound. Therefore, consciousness doesn't need any change. Consciousness is fine. The change has to happen where?
In the mind.
Yeah. The change happening on the part mind is what? Cognitive change. Is the perspective change, the emotional, mental transformation, which is possible. That is what is moksha. We don't need to go anywhere. Where do you need to go? Which heaven do you want to go to? Here, right now. Wherever you are. Why I'm saying this? Because it's very important for genuine seekers to be serious also. We can't take things for granted, is it? That is why Vedanta is not appealing for many people. You don't need to worry. You know, it's not like any big Katha Kalakshepa or some story part or some sort of a. It is not nothing, there's no mystery here. There's no mystical experience here. It's all hardcore facts. Therefore, what happens is it's not very appealing at all. For the people who are not mentally ready, then this Vedanta is not. Is not appealing for those immature people. And they think Vedanta teaching is very, very impractical. Because they may think, what is this? I have my children's problem, I have the financial difficulties, I have my, you know, the ill, the suffering at home, the illness, and then lots of problems, the tax problems, and that, also I have lots of problems. What does the Vedantic wisdom have to do with these problems? What way does it solve my problems? Therefore, it is not used, it is not practical. Therefore, they think it's useless. People go in the class, and people, impractical people, are some psychologically sick, some sort of psychics. That is how the immature people will think. For the Uttama Adhikari, you know, some completely different people. So here, that is what we say, even the study Thasam also, they slowly drop from the class. How many ever years they are in the Shastram also, they drop from the classes. Something else becomes more attractive. Something else grabs your mind. From the Shastra means you are not ready for the class, that's all. Therefore, it is so clear and beautiful here. Therefore, the one must really, this is where the prayerfulness, worshipfulness, consciously living one's life, all these things are very important for the mental discipline. how much we care for the body, how much we care. Because the, you know, what deficiency or that deficiency means, you make you take care of it. Physical health, we don't want any have any deficiency, we don't have anything exists also. High cholesterol, high sugar, blood sugar, high pressure, we won't take care of it. And no deficient iron deficiency, calcium deficiency, won't take care of it. All this, how much physical, how much you focus. Suppose somebody says your hemoglobin level is low. And you focus on that, you eat all iron content things, you focus. Why do you focus on particular weak thing? Whatever you lack, that alone you focus on. So that you improve it. Similarly here, Shastra says, what you lack is, you are amazingly brilliant. You can enjoy the knowledge, you can attain the knowledge, you can reap the benefits of the knowledge. All that you lack is what? The mental discipline. So focus on that and get it. How to get it? It needs perseverance and commitment. Living a life of karma yoga. Okay, so with this introduction, I have to start the lesson. Because it's time now, I'll start the lesson next week.